Yes, turn with me in your Bibles to, do it like we've been doing. First, we'll read Hebrews 11, verse 32, and then we'll flip back to Judges chapter 13, 13 through 16. And all right, Hebrews chapter 11, and if you're able to stand, please stand as we read God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, starting verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And then over to Judges chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Judges 13, verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any clean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that that shall be born. In verse 9, And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would speak to us this day from thy word and by thy Holy Spirit, and pray that thou would direct my words and thoughts, that they'd be pleasing to thee, and that we could enjoy what thou hast for us this day to apply to our lives this day, this week, this coming year, and the rest of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Quite an exciting thing here that happened to this woman. She got a message from angel of the Lord. And she was instructed that she would bear a child, and that there were some rules that she would have to abide by. Now, mind you, For example, the rule of not drinking alcohol applies to every woman at all times. And our society has dreadfully found out this ill effects there of children being born to women that drink alcohol. But this was a different reason. Not only was she not to drink strong drink, alcohol, she was not to eat any unclean thing as well, according to the Mosaic law. And also, when the child was born, his hair was not to be cut, because he would be a Nazarite with a Nazarite oath until the day of his death. And so we find that here in Judges, we find a parallel to, or a foreshadowing of a deliverer or a judge that would come, and he would be the deliverer of all time. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. A message came to some other woman many years later, probably about 1,050 years later. 1,050 years later, Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, we can start in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And so this is foreshadowing. We know that the Old Testament, and we learned last time, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, of how all that's given to us about Israel is an example or examples to us of how we should live. And also, it's a foreshadow. The scriptures are just a foreshadowing. The Mosaic law, all the ordinances and the tabernacle and later the temple and all the items that were in the temple were a foreshadowing of the Messiah that would come. And so too, these deliverers that would come to Israel during this time, they were foreshadowing of a deliverer that would come. He would be a deliverer for all mankind, for all time, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In God's economy, God's given his word that his sacrifice lamb would come. It didn't matter that Christ came 4,000 years after the promise. It was as good as something you could take to the bank right from day one, from the time that was, from even before the foundation of the world, God had in his plan to redeem mankind through a deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why a deliverer? Because we have been born in sin. We inherited sin from Adam. Young people, are you ever surprised when you're tempted to steal something or to tell a lie or to disobey your parents or all kinds of things? Doesn't that surprise you? Because you might even want to do right, but then you're tempted to do wrong. And sometimes you actually do wrong. And maybe when you do wrong, your parents may not even know that. But it's important for you to know you have a conscience. And that conscience is telling you that your Creator, the one that created you, knows all things. And He loves you, and He doesn't want you to do things that will be hurtful to you. And anything that is against God, against God's law, is not only a disobedience against God, but it's hurtful to you as well, and hurtful to you, those around you. And we're going to find out what happened to this young man. Samson, he disobeyed God's law in many ways. And yet, it's important to realize that even so, God can still use you. You can be repentant and turn to God. And most importantly, be saved. Because even after you're saved, you're still not perfect. But at least you have a Father that will chasten you, like a Heavenly Father that will chasten you and bring to your attention the right things that you should do. And so it makes life a whole lot easier to be a saved person in a time when even believers are not what they should be. Remember last time, the last few times we were talking about the judges? So the book of Judges is divided into two sections. The first 16 chapters are about the cyclical pattern in Israel, where the nation of Israel would rebel against God. That's what I was talking about earlier, about disobedience. Rebel against God, and their rebellion would lead to their ruin. And once they were in this state of being in ruin, they would repent, and God would hear their cry and rescue them. And then they would be restored and find rest in God again. So those are five R's that I've put there. Five R's that you can remember, this cyclical pattern. And we had seen that in the life of the time of Gideon was a judge, the time of when Barak was a judge. And so too we see here in the time of Samson, that was a judge, we find that the children of Israel again were in rebellion, which led to ruin and ultimately to their repentance and God sending rescue and allowing them to have restoration, leading to a rest. So what happens here in chapter 13, verse 1? And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Did evil again. How frustrating that can be. Especially now, of course, the lost, they have no Heavenly Father to chasten them. And you know, when I was growing up in the we're in the church, and the rule was don't be playing in that vacant lot by the church where all the cement forms and piles of lumber and plywood are. And so I knew that my parents would discipline me if I would go over there. But some parents were not quite so strict. And so I often thought, why don't my parents discipline those children? How come I get picked on? But it was comforting to know that that my parents cared about me in that regard. And so here the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the lesson we can take from that is, even though they did it again, it was in the sight of the Lord. The children of Israel were the covenant children of God. From Genesis chapter 12, the promise was given to Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abram in chapter 12 of Genesis, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And so we find that Israel had a special blessing on them. And was it because they were righteous? No, it's not because they were righteous. It was, now if I can just flip over to that. Is it Deuteronomy chapter? Chapter 9. And so here God is talking again to the children of Israel much later. So after they've gone into bondage into Egypt. Well, first, when they went into Egypt at first, they weren't in bondage. Things were really good, going really well for them. But later, Pharaoh came into play that did not know what God had done for, did not know Joseph or the God of Joseph. And so they were under bondage. And so now, many years later, after they were taken out of exile, and they were in the they were in the wilderness. God is speaking to Israel. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee. He's talking about the wicked people in the land of Canaan, in the promised land. After that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the God, the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for thy uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. That message belongs to us, dear friends. If you're a believer in Christ, if we're to take, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that this was set up for an example for us, we are a stiff-necked people. Now, I'm going according to what I know about my own heart and what's going on in my own life. And I've shared some of that with you folks, you know. Now, public sin required public confession. Private sin, private confession, okay? So if it's just in your mind, confess that to the Lord. He knows every thought of your heart. But we are stiff-necked people. I believe the passage that says there is no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So, is there a temptation that I experience that you don't experience? Maybe a little different context, different thing, but we all have temptations that we all fall from God. And so, when God gives us victory in our lives over sin? When he gives us victory over sin, is it because of our righteousness? No, it's for us to see that God is working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. And so here the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. God is willing to forgive if we turn to him. He's more than willing to forgive. And then still in verse 1, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And so I've mentioned this before, that when you recognize that you've done wrong, Satan would like you to just wallow in that for a while. You've done wrong. You did it again. And it could, you know, don't wallow in it for 40 years. Cry out to God. And so in the past, that's what Israel did. We've read it several times where they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord sent a deliverer. Now, something to realize, it's important for us to mature in the Lord. Let's not just brush off things and go, well, that's a small item. If the Holy Spirit is prodding you on something that you know is wrong, now sometimes we don't know, sometimes it's can be confusing. Yeah, granted. But if you know in your heart and the scripture is clear and you know that you've done wrong, don't wallow in it, deal with it. Because the reason I'm mentioning that is because look what Israel did in Judges chapter 1, verse 28, and we've read this before. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Now God had told them to utterly drive them out. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And they loved money rather than God's commands, because they were putting the Canaanites to tribute. They were taxing them. They were keeping these wicked people in the land so that they could tax them. God had given them such a victory when Joshua was leading them and having... Remember, they did things wrong, like in the town of Ai, they did the wrong thing and God punished them. But then they went ahead and did the right thing. And they were doing the right thing along. But when they... Listen, it says, it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. When they were strong. My friends, are you actually in a good place with the Lord? Good place in serving the Lord right now? Are you in a strong place in serving the Lord? May that strength be the Lord, not you. Amen. If it is you, beware. Like if you're in your heart thinking, I'm in a good place with the Lord in my Christian life. Look what happened here. It's interesting to note that they cried out and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And so here we see Manoah, man who, now it's not directly in as it was in some of these other passages that we've read in the past. For example, chapter 3, verse 8. And several other places. We did cover some of these. But chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So that's just an example. Several places where they cried unto the Lord and he delivered them. Well, here we find Manoah had a heart toward God in that when his wife told him what the angel had said, then he entreated the Lord and he said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. And that's in verse 8 of chapter 13. And so here we see the beginning of something good happening to Israel again, where even though they were under ruin for 40 years at the hands of the Philistines, here's a man who entreated the Lord. And so a step toward repentance. And God allowed them to have this young man, Samson, was born to them. And so in chapter 14, chapter 13, verse 24 and 25, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Oh, here Samson is supposed to be the deliverer for Israel, and he's disobeying his parents. What is this? He's saying, get her for me, she pleaseth me well. Young people, young men, that's boys, right? Young men. You're getting to an age, and soon to an age, where you'll be like a, you'll be tempted to be like a moose in rut. They're stupid.
Amen.
The hunter puts a red jacket on. He's trampling through the bush, but he's got a stupid little horn. And that moose thinks it's a cow moose, right? And he comes running. I phoned Brother Arlen one time and said, he's running your way. And that was 5 miles away. And he just went straight for the horn. And you know, young men, boys, and young women too, but I'm a man, so I know. Boys, if you think struggling with sin right now about lying to your parents or stealing something that isn't yours or cheating on a test, if you think that that's difficult for you now, there's difficult things coming that you need to be prepared for. And here Samson, he didn't prepare himself well because he was wanting to take a woman that was not pleasing to his parents. His parents knew she would not be good for him. And the interesting thing is that she was from she was from the Philistines, and the Philistines were living in the land of Gaza. And Gaza, the word Gaza means strong. Samson, turns out, was a strong man in the flesh. He thought he could go up against strong people and win in the flesh. But that's not what he was called to. He was called to be a strong man in the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord. But he disobeyed. And verse 4 tells us that even though we sin, even though we do wrong, God knows that in advance. He knows ahead of time. And so he knew what Samson would do, and he made provision. And verse 4 says, and that's in chapter 14, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now don't misunderstand this. God didn't force Samson. He didn't make it that Samson should do this any more than he would make me as a Christian to sin. Okay? He knows ahead of time, just like a parent knows ahead of time what the child is going to do. But much more, because God knows perfectly. Okay? Parents, you know pretty good, but not perfectly. God knows perfectly. So he arranges things according to our free will. He doesn't violate our free will. He arranges things. And so his parents didn't know that God had sought an occasion against the Philistines. very much the same way, he sought occasion against the Canaanites. And God was fulfilling what he was wanting to fulfill by using, and that's, we read that in Deuteronomy chapter 9, he didn't choose Israel to do it because Israel was so righteous, and they as a righteous people were going into this unrighteous land and cleaning it out. No, they were a stiff-necked people. God was using them to show his might. How can a weak little nation that was not, that became a nation, such a small nation, that was rescued in such a miraculous way out of Egypt, how could they do anything to clean out the Canaanites? Not, they couldn't. Okay? Amen. Other than trusting in the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about faith, right? By faith, Samson. Now, so far it's not looking very good, is it? But by faith, we see that God was working. God was working in spite of Samson's disobedience. Now, so verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So she went down and visited this woman again. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, pay attention, young people. A swarm of bees and the honey of the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hand and went on eating, and he came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Do you know what was wrong with that? There was actually two things I can think of that was wrong there. What were two things wrong that Samson did? Taking the honey out of the carcass of the lion. He wasn't supposed to, one of the laws was he wasn't supposed to touch things that were dead. Okay? But the second thing there, he didn't tell his parents. So he wasn't close to his parents. You know, my friends, be close to your parents. Even if there are many parents that are not good people. Some parents don't even know the Lord. And yet, there's wisdom in a young person who does their best to try to obey their parents. Now, sometimes that may require disobedience if it's something against the Lord. But for the most part, God knows, God sees you, even if your parents are not godly. It's so important to obey your parents. And so Samson, he was not close. A couple of times he did not tell his parents. And so here he goes, and now in verse 10, his father goes down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. So Samson is making a wedding feast. He's wanting to marry this woman. And his father agrees, so he goes down there. Now, what he does is he's quite cocky. And he's saying to these Philistines that had come to the feast, and he said unto them in verse 14, out of the eater, now in verse 13 he says, well actually he starts in verse 12, he says, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within 7 days, of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. Verse 14, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Now, do any of you know what the answer to the riddle is? The riddle is, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Okay, what is, out of the strong, out of the eater came forth, and so the answer, I'll tell you how the answer came. So that was the question. And it came to pass on the seventh day, verse 15, that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife, now she was still his fiancée. They hadn't gotten married yet, but in the scriptures they consider a fiancé to be a wife. And they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. And so, verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, now listen to this. He said, behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? So it was on his mind, right? It was on his mind that he wasn't close to his parents. But now, when he's kind of caught here between two things, between her request and his desire for her, he says, well, I haven't even told my parents. But, verse 17, and she wept before him and the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of the people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, What is sweeter than
honey?
Okay. And what is stronger than a
lion?
Yes. Now, right away, he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, that's not very nice, but anyway, ye had not found out my riddle. What was he saying? If you didn't, he's referring to his fiance as a heifer. If you didn't plow with my fiance, then you would not have found out the riddle. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon. Now, Ashkelon is just north of Gaza. And recently I just heard about Ashkelon lately in the news. And there's a lot of turmoil going on there. Gaza is really interesting. Just before I moved to Grand Prairie again, like came back here in 2007, Sharon had given up Gaza as land for peace. Sharon was the prime minister of Israel. And he had given up Gaza for in exchange for peace. Well, that didn't help. Like, it made matters worse. These places are really current events these days. But anyway, he went up to, or like it says, down to Ashkelon. Ashkelon is north of Gaza, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of the garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house without his wife. Verse 20, but Samson's wife, that's his fiancée, was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Now, you know, I mentioned before that if a person prepares really well, they can get a lot more done in a shorter period of time. Well, there's going to have to be a part B to this story. But so far, what we've learned is that young people, obey your parents. And older people, obey the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. If you feel like you're strong in the Lord right now, may it be that it be in the Lord, not in your own strength. Check to see if it is your strength. Because when Israel was strong, instead of getting rid of the Canaanites like they were told to, they put them to tribute. Is there something in your life that you think, well, if I obey the Lord in this, it's not going to help me in the things of the world? That's pretty blunt, but we as believers shouldn't be thinking of trying to succeed in this world, but that is, that's a difficult thing. As I mentioned earlier, it's sometimes hard to know if we're disobeying the Lord or not. But the Holy Spirit can lead and guide and direct. Let's not be strong in our own strength. Let's be strong in the Lord. And so one of the points I wanted to make here is that this cyclical thing, pattern, for the children of Israel about rebelling and then being under ruin and then repenting and then being rescued and then being restored, that pattern that happened in Israel really, we'll find out, Lord willing, next time, happened in the life of Samson himself, that cycle. And so too for us, we might be caught in that cycle. But if we are caught in that cycle, may it be that we're going upward. Last time we talked about planting a flag. And so that was in Philippians. You will have successes in your life as you grow in Christ. That's wonderful. And that's, whenever you have a success, a victory over sin in your life, plant a flag. Have a verse that's associated, you know, some Bible passage, something that you can remind yourself of, that God was my strength through that trial. I can be strong again when it comes up again. And you will be. Like, it's tremendous how God helps us. Where the Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, you know, that he was not perfect, that he's not sinless. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this is Philippians 3. So Philippians 3:15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. What is he talking about, perfect? And I mentioned that before. A blossom, an apple blossom, can be perfect. But that's not something you want to eat. A little green apple can be perfect at that stage. But again, that's not something you want to eat. You want that nice red or golden apple. That's what you're looking for, the fruit, right? So at each stage, it can be perfect. And you parents, you know that about your own children. You can have a really good relationship at the stage that they're at, even though that's not the stage that you have hopes for. You have greater hopes for those children. But you can commend your children. You can be proud of your children at stages that they're at when they do right. And so too God with us. Can be happy with us and commending us at the stage that we're at. But that's not the stage he wants us to be. He wants us to be, let's be thus minded, that if in anything that you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so continue to diligently seek God. If you've been saved, if you haven't been saved, that's the first step. You don't even understand what we're talking about here. But those of us that are saved, we understand that there have been victories in our life, and we know that God can be strong in our life going forward. And he may call us to things that right now we don't even want to comprehend he might be leading us through. But if we're obedient and faithful, he remains faithful. He will show us the way. All right, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy word, this example of Samson, although personally he failed so many times, and yet in the scripture he's counted as one that brought a testimony of your goodness and your greatness. And in this chapter of witnesses to faith, this cloud of witnesses to thy faithfulness. And so too, yes, right to the bitter end, Samson went, he understood that it was all, that strength was all from thee. It wasn't his hair. It was all from thee. And so he did cry out to thee in the end. Dear God, we just pray that we would not fall into a lot of temptations, but that we would grow strong in the little things that you have us to do, so that we can be trusting in thee for the more difficult things. So God, we just thank thee for thy goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.